We in Judges. We about to go somewhere in the spirit. I need you to be there with me. I don't want to leave nobody. I want you to come there with me. If I'm not your pastor, find the pastor in the church that you follow that follow me so they can get this word to you, because we about to go somewhere. Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. I just feel the move of the Holy Ghost. And believe me, I don't play with God. And see, what you all need to understand, if the man of God, or woman of God that leads the church plays with God and brings you word out of order and leads you to places you're not supposed to go, see, it ain't your problem. See, your job is to follow and submit to leadership. If I'm leading the church to hell, you ain't going to go to hell because you following me. I will. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I just got to talk to some people right quick that don't understand apostolic order, that don't understand the power of the Holy Ghost. James says that be careful to become teachers, because you will be judged more harsh than other people. Not just your haters, not just your naysayers, not just the folk that don't like you, but God himself gonna judge you more hard. So if I'm out of order, there's a hotter place in hell for me. And I ain't gonna let none of y'all send me there by not doing what God told me to do. Now let me get in my word. Judges 14, 15 through 20, and chapter 15, 1 through 3. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to steal our property?" Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, "You hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even explained it to my father or mother," he replied. "So why should I explain it to you?" She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day, he finally told her, because she continued to press him. She, in turn, explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" Samson said to them, "If you would have not plowed my heifer," now that's the Bible, not me, "you would not have solved my riddle." Children church in the back, amen. King James did it, not me. The nursery back there too, so don't get mad at the preacher. We got some places. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. I know, right? Ain't that a soap opera for you? Chapter 15. But it came to pass, when a while after, in the time of the wheat and harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, "I will go into my wife, into the chamber," but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, "I verily thought thou had utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her." And Samson said concerning them, "Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines. Though I do them a displeasure." Lord, I ask for you to bring your word the way you want to bring your word. Not for political reasons, not for condemning reason, but for a word of God to convict us and make us better. A word of God to set us free and take us to a new level in operating in you. A level that would challenge us and pull us and begin to take the chafe out of us, to take us to new levels in your glory and understanding. A word that will pull things out of us that we didn't even know that we had. A word that will begin to break things out of us that we didn't even know that was keeping us bondage. A word that will set us free, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask for your glory to reign upon the word. We ask for your glory to reign upon the pastor as he preached. We ask for you to reduce the word of God. No, reduce your man and servant down to his least common denominator so that he may be multiplied in your spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you take your seat, we're still in the series Waiting to Reign. But today I want to speak to you from the word of stop playing with your kryptonite. Stop playing with your kryptonite. I know some of us may not read the Bible as much as we should, but I know we watch cartoon characters, and I know we know Superman. Superman is probably one of the most famous characters. Even when we were coming up, he said, look, there's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. Yeah, no, more faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. You know, it's Superman. It's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Superman has all these powers. Superman can fly. Superman can freeze the lakes of waters with his breath. Superman can he has X-ray vision. He has heat rays. He can do all things. He can get shot and not get horned by bullets. But the one thing Superman don't mess with is kryptonite. But the smart thing about Superman is Superman tries to avoid his kryptonite at all turns, but we run to our kryptonite at times. Superman sometimes get fooled by his enemy because sometimes he can't see the kryptonite because they put it in a lead container. And we want to say, Superman, don't go there. It's hidden in the brushes and they in the lead. You can't see through it. Don't go get it, Superman. You're going to die. And we know that kryptonite can mess up Superman even though he's strong. But sometimes we forget that our kryptonite can break us down even though we're not Superman or Superwoman. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Samson was a mighty man of God. Samson was so cunning. Samson was strong. Samson would Samson killed 300 Philistines, and we already did the PG-13 with the heifer, so we ain't gonna go into the other one. But he killed 1,000. Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Samson was a bad man. It's hard to find one fox. In fact, rich folk will go hunt foxes and try to find one fox, but they know they're not gonna find more than one. But Samson caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together, and lit them on fire and put them in the fields and burn up all the corn. Come on, somebody. It's hard to find one fox. This man caught 300 of them and tied their tails together. Get out of here. How you even hold them in one place? That's a lot of brain power you using. Samson was bad, but Samson had a weakness. Yeah, Samson couldn't leave that kryptonite alone. But let us talk about Samson, because we look at his excursion with Delilah, but we don't realize that the story started before Delilah. The reason why Delilah was able to destroy Samson is because Samson never got over what happened with his first wife. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You wondering why you keep finding a man that's just like the last man who did you wrong. You wondering why you found a woman just like the same woman that did you wrong. It's because you continue to be tied to your kryptonite because you have not forgiven them. If you don't forgive, whatever you don't forgive, forgive holds you bondage. You wondering why you still answering the phone when that man calls you, even though you don't like him, is because you didn't forgive him and let it go. It's not that forgiveness is for your enemy. Forgiveness is for yourself to free you up to go to the next level. Samson began to fight the Philistines, not for God, but out of anger. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Check your motives. Why are you teaching Sunday school? Why are you preaching? Why are you pastoring? Why are you a deacon? Why are you a deaconess? Why are you a Sunday school worker? What are you doing it? What are your motives? Are your motives pure? Or are you doing it to satisfy your own ego? Are you preaching a sermon to bring a word of God to the people? Or are you preaching a sermon so you can see how many tweets you get on Instagram? Why are you serving God? You got to check your motive, because Samson was doing a mighty thing for God, but he wasn't doing it. He was doing something to help the kingdom, but he wasn't doing it for kingdom reasons. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Sometimes you have to check your motives. What's your motive? What's your motive? Why are you preaching? Why are you teaching? Why are you leading? Is it your ego? Or is it for God? Samson said, you better watch out, because I'm going to kill all of y'all. God had already instructed him not to connect with them, but now he's finally doing what he was supposed to do, but he's doing it for the wrong reason. got caught up with the past. Some of us get caught up with the past. You got to understand kryptonite is the part of Kryptonian. Come on, the planet Krypton. Come on, somebody. Can I talk to somebody for a while? Can I go between it? I know somebody going to get mad because I'm preaching about Superman, but you're going to be mad anyhow. Krypton is a piece of a fragment. Kryptonite is a part of Superman's planet that splintered off. It's from his old world. And whenever he comes in contact with his old world, it takes his strength. Once you leave the world and you come into the kingdom, you can't do stuff the same way you used to do. See, the Bible, see, the world would say, take and it will be given to you. The kingdom would say, it's more blessed to give than receive. The world say, cut you before you cut me. The Bible says, turn the other cheek. Come on, somebody. You have to understand that when you come into the kingdom, you can't be using your common sense. Because God ain't common. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Samson was doing what God needed him to do, but he was doing it with the wrong motives. If you come to church to do spiritual things for a carnal reason, God can never truly elevate you and bless you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, that's the whole problem with the church. The church begins, church folk want to do stuff to be seen and get mad at pastors don't remember them and call their name because really they're doing it for you to call their name, but they ain't really doing it for God. And sometimes God will make the man of God, a woman of God, forget to call your name just to show you that you ain't doing it for his name and you're doing it for your name. What are you serving God for? Oh, it's going to get quiet today, but I'm going to preach anyhow. See, the problem with kryptonite is the part of his old planet. And sometimes you got to understand we reduce Samson and Delilah to lust, but it's far bigger than lust. It's whatever has caught you and keeps you in your past. If Samson would have forgiven his first wife, he never would have got caught up with Delilah. Until you get delivered from whatever your old mess used to be, you can't handle the new mess that comes at you. Let me tell you something about Satan. Satan used the same old tricks all the time. He don't have no new selection. He uses the same thing all the time, except he do it in several different ways. So Samson can't get off and can't get his mind right. And see what happened is the devil will keep you tied to a past and tied you mad to somebody. And some folk even come to church mad every week. Some people come to church mad at the pastor and wondering why they sick and dying. You can't come to church angry and expect to hear a blessing. Some people can't even hear the word because you really don't want to worship God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, the problem with this is some of y'all come in here and wonder why worship is so important because some of y'all ain't. Let me just put a pin in that and come back to it. Samson wouldn't let his old past go. There's something in your life that every time God gets ready to elevate you, that kryptonite is ignited and it short circuits your blessing. Flesh cannot handle spiritual things. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If I try to put too much power in a socket back there, the circuit breaker gonna shut it down and the lights gonna go off. Why? Because it can't handle the amount of power that it goes in. Until you beat your flesh into submission, you cannot handle spiritual things. And every time you try to go to the next level in God, the devil will bring up that piece of kryptonite in your life, that unforgiveness, that anger, that messed up attitude, that trying to control, that Jezebel or Absalom's spirit, he will ignite it and keep you right in your same place, and in a short circuit of the spirit, your lights will go off and you will be stuck in the same place. Aren't you tired of being in the same place? He's stuck because he got disappointed
And instead of looking toward the hills of which cometh his help, he continues to try to do it with his own might. The Bible says, to him who's able to lift, to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his glorious majesty, he will keep you from falling, not yourself. You got to give it up to God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But you keep saying, I can't do it, I can't do it. No, you can't do it, but God can do it. God can do it. It's not your flesh that's going to get you there. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Oh, but people don't want to walk in the spirit. They want to walk in their own flesh. And we wonder why the church gets short-circuited, because we keep trying to get a right now blessing with a yesterday anointing. God didn't get mad because Moses got mad. Moses got mad all the time. Moses had a temper problem. The reason why Moses couldn't go in the promised land when he struck the rock, it's not because he struck the rock, because he had told him to strike the rock the first time. The problem was, he said, pray to the rock this time. The problem was, Moses kept trying to get a blessing the same way. God stayed the same, but his methods are different to make sure you stay in the spirit. He said, pray to the rock, but Moses struck the rock. The water still came, but God said, I didn't want you to get it that way. I needed you to flow in my spirit. Carnal people don't want the spirit. They don't want to walk in the spirit, and it stretches you. And people get mad at the man of God, a woman of God that has a vision, a kingdom vision, because your common sense doesn't work in this world. In the world of spiritual things, God does what he wants to do, how he wants to do it. He said, I take the foolishness of man to confine the wise, and you keep trying to use your intellect. If I sit up there and keep talking about, I'm Dr. Maxwell, I got this and I got that, I got this degree. God don't care nothing about my doctor degree. God told me to get a doctor degree so man can see that I'm approved. God has already approved me, so it don't have to do with your degree. If I want, I'm the pastor, I really say that I'm Pastor Maxwell. I say I'm Willard Maxwell, and I'm the pastor. Pastor at New Beach Grove. I don't get caught up in titles, because when you get caught up in titles, God will humble you to make you know that it ain't you that make the title. God made you, and you, oh, y'all don't hear me what I'm saying. I'm trying to talk to you. People say, I'm going to go to your church. No, you're going to go to New Beach Grove where I pastor. See, let me tell y'all something. Samson would have never got into this problem if he would have did what God told him to do. First of all, God said, don't go mess with no Philistine women. Never would have been mad. Then God also told him, don't you ever touch a dead carcass. But the reason why he got the riddle, because he got some honey out of dead lion that he had killed that ran up on it. And then he saw the honey in it, and he stuck his hand in it. He was disobedient. See, the problem with it, you see a lot of preachers and pastors and people acting like they're bigger than God and better than everybody else, is because it started off little first. See, when it starts up little, people didn't get the big head overnight. It was gradual. You feel me? He touched a dead carcass. He married a Philistine woman. Now all of a sudden he's doing stuff for himself and not God. Check yourself. I want to say check yourself before you wreck yourself. Well, you was ready. But Samson is fighting a good fight, but he's fighting for the wrong reasons. Saul was fighting a good fight, but before he became Paul, he was fighting for the wrong reasons. You can know God and not be in covenant with God. You feel me? Until you really have a covenant with God, you will always kick against God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Let me go somewhere with this. And I understand, I had to repent. I got to teach y'all some things that I thought you knew. And you wonder why I try to do covenants and bring us in right covenant with pastor and in covenant with the church, because covenants keep you together. The reason why your marriage still together is because you in a covenant. You would have left Billy Blow a long time ago if you went in no covenant relationship. But I get to that later. I'm just talking. It got quiet in here. The thing about it is, you'll be surprised about the number of people that try to kill the men and women of God and act like they're doing it for God.
and think they're doing it for God. But it's really their anger with their past. The Bible says you killed the prophet and say you do God good service. The reality is you find in scriptures to try to fit your egotistical mind to justify what you're doing. And the problem is a lot of times it's not the man of God or the woman of God. Sometimes the problem is the perspective in which you're looking at it because you really don't understand the word of God. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I got to talk to y'all for a minute. I'm not trying to make you hoop and holler. I'm not trying to preach for emotions. I'm trying to break some people out of some past stuff that you've been tied to forever, and you're wondering why you can't get blessed because you continue to be tied to your kryptonite, because you continue to go back to the past situations because you won't let it go. It's some things in your life that you need to just look at and let them pass you by and keep on walking. The problem is we have our rearview mirror bigger than our windshield. Your windshield is bigger for a reason. You got to look at the healer which coming to your help. Your rearview mirror is small just to give you a reference point to make sure that you actually pass what you're passing by. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You got to look back out of the corner of your life and have a testimony, but stop wallowing in the dirt. Stop returning to your vomit like the Bible said. Stop going back to your mess. Stop going back to what God has delivered you from. Stop getting caught up with the same mess. Forgive and let go so God can take you forward. Don't get trapped in some old mess. Some of us are making contemporary decisions based on historical pain. Some women and men are talking to their wife, but really ain't even talking to their wife. You talking to Sarah. Now you're married to Mary, but you got so many issues. Mentally, you got 3-4 women in your bed. You ain't cheating, but you ain't let go of your old issue, Samson. You wondering why you can't move forward. You got all that garbage tied on you. Some folk fussing at me and you ain't even mad at me. You mad at the last pastor. Some folk were mad at me before I got here. First day of work, meeting with me. For what? I just got here. I ain't even unpacked the U-Haul yet. Some arguments you fussing. You ain't even fussing at your husband. You fussing at your ex-husband. Because you never let that issue go. Samson is tied to his old wife, dealing with old issues, walking into the lion's den and don't even realize he's about to die. You know the funny thing about men? We don't know how to run away from stuff. We always want to fight everything. Everything that come up, you want to fight it. You can't kill everything. When you get to the point and mature enough in God to understand sometimes you got to walk away from a fight and stop being in the midst of stuff all the time and know how to just put your sword down and say, you know what, God, I'm going to let you handle this one, because at the end of the day, baby, the battle is not mine, it's the Lord. Some battles you got to say, I got to leave it alone. Joseph didn't sit up there and argue with Potiphar's wife. He didn't try to lay hands on her. He didn't try to preach to her. He ran up out of there. He said, oh no, baby, you too fine. I gotta get up out of here because it's gonna go down if I sit here and try to rationalize with you. You gotta know how to get out of a situation and run your little self away. Learn how to walk away and stop getting every fight. When you really get anointed by God, you understand I can't got time to get in no cat fight and dog fight and be tied up with you. I got a devil to fight. I ain't got time to be dealing with your unresolved issues.
Your enemies can bring a word out like this. You got to get pressed. You got to get pressed. The reason why the olive gets pressed is for the oil to come out. The coal gets pressed to make the diamond. You get pressed to be contoured into the weapon that God is wants to make you into. There's a reason why you keep going through the threshing floor. There's a reason why you keep getting pressed. There's a reason why Jesus had to go to Gethsemane. He had to get pressed out of him so the chafe could be released, so that he could walk in the true anointing God had called him to. What mess are you going through that God wants to bring you out of, but you keep complaining about it? God is not doing it, as we said before, he's not doing it to bury you. He's doing it to plant you. He's doing it to bring character out in you. Samson, God was trying to build character in you, But he was trying to make you learn how to run from your kryptonite, but you kept going to your kryptonite house. Mm-hmm. Samson, I done tried to show you that they're going to kill you now. I done showed you some small signs, but you keep playing with your kryptonite. Now he done walked into the ultimate kryptonite. He done found Delilah. Oh, Jesus, help him. Jesus, he done went to Delilah's house. And he didn't even know she had already been paid off. Well, not yet, but she kind of got paid off right before she knew he was going to die. They promised to give her 1,100 pieces of silver apiece. Read the text. He didn't say 1,100 pieces of silver. They said, we each will give you 1,100. Look, Judas went to hell for no reason. Judas sold out the Lord of Lords and King of Kings for 30 pieces of silver. Delilah said, look, yeah, I know I'm probably going to go to hell for this, but I need 1,100 from all of y'all. Delilah wasn't playing. Do you know you worth so much to God that the devil take out all of his arsenal just to get you? When you have a holy call, God, I mean, the devil don't use no cheap demons. Some of you wondering why you going through hell. You're not going through hell for where you are. You're going through hell because of the potential that the devil knows that you're about to walk into. Do you understand when Job was being tempted, that the devil walked to heaven and back? He went to God saying, I ain't got nothing to do. And God said, have you not noticed my servant Job? Do you know that the devil was there when you were created? He knows you better than you know yourself. He was the archangel of God. Let me just use this for a nugget for leadership. The devil was very gifted. Very, very gifted. But God said, you won't get in line with me, so I got to cast you out of here. I know you're going to get quiet. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. If you cannot submit your gift to God, he can't continue to use you. See, y'all hear what I'm saying. See, this is why y'all need to stop worrying. If I'm doing wrong, I'm going straight to hell. Quit. In a hurry. Only not say it confidently because I don't worry about none of y'all opinions. I worry about God's opinion. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, you got to get to the point where you worried about God more than you worried about people. You know, people don't cry when they in their sin until they get caught. If you would have cried before then, you would have stopped. God been seeing us the whole time, but the minute people know, oh God, I'm so sorry. I know we got quiet. What secret mess you got that you so worried about people, but you forgot God see you? Oh, don't worry, I'm talking to myself too. See, the problem is when I preach and y'all get convicted, y'all think, oh, he talking good. The kitchen is always hotter when you cooking in the stove. It might burn you a little bit when you get the plate, but believe me, the person that cooked the plate had a little more heat than you. So believe me, when I'm cooking up the sermon and I'm cooking it up and I'm cooking it and I'm cooking it up and I'm cooking it, it burns me just like it burns you. But in fact, it burns me more than it burns you because I'm the cook. So don't get offended when God brings you a word of correction to bring you in right standing with him, because God chastises who he loves. So Samson stuck in the same place. The devil ain't after you. He already know you going to heaven. He after your witness. You already covered by the blood of Jesus. He's after your witness. He's trying to pollute you and dilute you so your word won't mean nothing to anybody in the world. The reason why churches get mad at each other and split up and deacons and pastors going at each other, because the devil understands that the light of the world is the church, and if he can just mess the church up and get a whole bunch of folk who think they own the church to act, to make and act a fool and try to run the kingdom people out the church, then he knows he got the world messed up. The church is always supposed to be ahead of the world. You the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. We supposed to be the plumb line in which God judges the world. But until the church gets in order, he ain't after you. He already know you saved. He after your witness. He want to neutralize you and make sure that you're not a real soldier for the kingdom of God. I know some of y'all, I want to hear Jesus. I want to hear he went to the cross. We know he went to the cross. We know he already is sitting on the right hand of God. But I need to give you some practical stuff to take your gospel to the next level. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I know you want to hear, oh, he died, and I get to that when I get to the end of the sermon, and he bled. But you ought to know that by now. God needs you to get in a fight and use some practical stuff and get out here and save the world. We know you saved, but save somebody else. You ain't known Jesus, bled and died by now. I ain't saying don't preach it. But I'm saying the pastor's job ain't to evangelize. It's your job. Sheep go get sheep. You supposed to have already taught them before they get here. So when I can teach on the next level, it doesn't matter because you already gave them the surface stuff. The problem is church folk go around talking about church folk in a negative way and putting all the stuff on Facebook that you didn't mess your witness up. Don't nobody want to go where you go, and you didn't mess up your witness. Samson messed up his witness out here messing around with all these Philistines and doing stuff out of anger and not the love of God. He went from having God's vision to division to no vision. You can't stay in Krypton and the kingdom. You can't serve two masters. You can't have one foot on Krypton and the other foot in the kingdom. You're going to have to choose which one you're going to be in, because God don't like lukewarm Christians. You got to choose the kingdom. Get your foot off the planet Krypton and stop playing with your kryptonite so God can take you to a new level in glory. Oh, I'm trying to preach a little bit. Samson goes to Delilah. And Delilah used the same line. If you love me. Yeah, y'all know women, y'all usually be the one hearing that line, but y'all did it on this one. If you love me, Samson. This is what tripped me out, Deacon Spells. Apparently she trying to kill you. Because every time you tell her what to do, she do it. But you keep trying to be strong and arrogant as a man that you think you can defeat it. And I told you already, you got to learn how to run from some stuff. You can't battle everything. I remember one time I was supposed to go pray for a house, and I took Deacon Garvin with me, and the person got mad because they said, I didn't call you. Oh, I didn't call him, I called you. Babe, I ain't coming over here and pray for your house by myself. Man, I ain't even tell my mom and dad. I don't care who you told me. I ain't coming by myself. I'm a preacher, but I'm a man. I ain't coming by myself. I'm trying to tell y'all deacons, take the deaconess with you. Your deaconess. You might lay hands on that woman too long. See, the problem with us is we put stuff past ourselves. You got to understand that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you can't put yourself in a situation where you're going to fall. Don't put yourself there. If you're an alcoholic, stop going to the bar with your friends. You can't handle it. You can't. Anyway, I like this microphone loud because I don't even try to scream. I can just chill with this. Keep my mic down. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. She said, look here, you don't love me. Why? She said, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? Oh, that's what you said in chapter 16. Why did he say your heart ain't with me? Because he hadn't told her his secret. Stop telling people your secrets. Hey, some people come to you just for your secrets. They don't really like you. They just want to know your business. That's why at your job, you got to stop talking all the time. You wonder why you didn't get a promotion because you done told everybody your secrets. Some people there just to get your secrets. Wherever your secret is, that's where your heart is. Stop. Women, I'm telling you, sometimes you after your Victoria, ooh, secrets. Say whatever you want to hear, but actions don't line up because some people just after your secrets. You got to be careful of who you tell your secrets to and your business to. You got to be careful of who you run to warm yourself by the fire. You got to be careful of who you lay down with and have and begin to tell them everything about your life. Samson told her everything. And then he kept going over there every day. But then look at this. And she said to him, how can I say I love me? And when you thy heart is not with me, thou hast mocked me these three times and hast told me wherein thy strength lies. You lying to me. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her word and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Oh, y'all better watch out. Watch periods of vexation. See, God says, don't even bring me an offering if you got an ought against your brother. Don't even bring your tithe. I know ain't no too many preachers going to say that. Don't even bring your tithe when you're mad at the church keeper. You ain't going to get blessed no way. Why? Why? God ain't going to. Some of y'all come to church every day mad, pay your tithe. You ain't going to get blessed no way. Keep them. I say it again just to make sure I ain't make a mistake. Say it three times. One for the Holy Ghost. If you mad all the time, your tithe and offerings ain't blessing you know how. Keep them. God said, if you mad, I can't bless you. You know the devil will send somebody in your life to get on your nerves, to keep you mad so you won't be blessed, to keep you in unforgiveness so he won't open up the window of heaven and pour out a blessing. You won't have room to receive. The devil will send folk around you to get on your nerves. Leaders, be careful. Folk are there to get on your nerves. They sent by the devil himself to stay on your nerves. And if you let them vex you, you will make emotional decisions. You will make decisions out of anger and not get with the Holy Ghost and God. I don't care. I may get mad, but I'll never make a decision while I'm mad. You can't bless a mad person. They'll destroy the blessing anyway. On your job, the person in that next cubicle that'll get on your nerves to make sure you stay in that cubicle right there with them. Like I told you before, toll booth collector, when you go through the toll, everybody going through the toll, you pay the toll, but no, the toll booth collector stay there. They don't go nowhere. Someone got attitude because I done seen 100,000 cars go through and they still in that same little box. Some folk in your life are toll booth collectors. They there to get on your nerves. They there to buffet you and get on your nerves at every turn and resist you everywhere you go to make sure God takes your character where your gifts taking you. See, your character might not be able to keep you where your gifts can take you. Your character has to, you know why people are here to get on my nerves and get on your nerves? They there to buffet you and make you strong. They there to make you a better person. You need some chafe in your life to work some character in you. What are you complaining about that God is trying to use to make you? Let me tell you something. I ain't saying the sermon good, but what I'm telling you is my sermons wouldn't be elevated if I ain't had no enemies. Because enemies keep you on your knees. Mess keep you on your knees. You make sure it's together because you know they sitting there trying to tweet something. What did he say wrong this time? I'm going to put it out now. He said this right here. It makes you want to make sure you study to show thyself approved, to make sure you don't put out nothing that ain't godly and don't make sense. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Your enemies make you. God allowed Samson to go in that mess. If you read the Bible, it said he allowed him to go there. Read the text. It said it allowed it. He knew he was going to go there because he knew it was going to mess Samson up, and he knew it was going to break him and bring him to a place where he understood that he could only depend on God and not himself. God had begun to take people out your life. Move your mama. Move your daddy. Move your friend. Cause your husband to betray you to make sure you depend on him and nobody else. You thought you had faith, but when God removed everything, you realized you didn't have faith, but now you're walking in another level of faith. Because now you trust God with all of your might and all of your heart.
See, some of y'all, you need to come worship. Don't just come for the sermon, you got to come worship. Because the problem is you vexed and you mad and it's hard. And then you want to come in here a word and you mad at me. You can't hear me mad at me. You can't hear me mad at anybody. See, the problem is preachers be preaching themselves to death. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, choir. Thank you, everybody that's singing. Thank you, minister music. Thank you, music. Because, see, the psalmists, they clear the atmosphere for you. If you really worship. See, you got to worship God and get that mess out of you, because some of y'all come in here mad from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come here to church mad, and I got to preach on top of all this garbage because you ain't got yourself in right standing with him, and then you won't come and worship him in spirit and in truth. Come in here and worship him. Wash yourself like Ephesians with the word of God to get all that vexation out of you, to get all that anger out of you so God can bless you. God done already told you, if you mad, I can't bless you. So them Negroes that get on your nerve Monday morning, pray for them, go to work, and stop getting mad all the time. Accept them for who they are. Plant your seeds and keep it moving and say the devil is a lie. I'm not going to walk in unforgiveness with you and miss my blessing. The devil is a lie. I ain't going to be mad at you cussing you out like you cussing me out, because I want my blessing. Don't you let nothing, they said it vexed him to death. Don't you let nobody kill your destiny.
I'm trying to talk to you. Stop letting people make you so mad that you quit your job off emotions. Stop getting so mad that you leave your church off a simple mess. Now, if you've been having mess for 20 years, by all means, leave. Because you ain't going to never be right. I'm talking about them emotional moments. God can't bless you when you mad. He won't bless you when you mad. Once I started realizing that, I said, you know what? Some church folk job is to get on my nerves. That's their job. They ordained to do that. Anointed and appointed. To get on my nerves at every turn and disagree with everything. I'm not saying when you disagree with me sometimes or even most of the time, but all the time. They anointed and appointed to get on my nerves to keep me from taking the church to the level it needs to go to. And until I release all that unforgiveness in me, it can't go nowhere. So you got to forgive people daily. Stop letting the sun go down on your wrath. When somebody do you wrong, forgive them, let it go. I know they don't like you. Hug them anyway, baby. I love you, girl. I know you don't love me, but I don't care. Samson, strongest man to ever live, lost his blessing hanging around Delilah. And you know it's funny that we laugh at Esau and we say that he sold his birthright for a pot of porridge. But what pot of porridge you selling your birthright for?
Oh, I know. I ain't talking about no soup. Come on, I'm talking about the sin you in. What you doing? Oh. Gotta go over to Ray Ray house. Mess up my blessing. Mm-hmm. Gotta go over Felicia house. Mess up my blessing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know I gotta embezzle this money. Mess up my blessing. What are you in that's short-circuiting your blessing that you're selling your purpose out for? Oh, I'm preaching you today. I don't care. Getting mad. I don't care. I'm trying. The problem is you looking for somebody to save you. Can't nobody save you but God. Can I say, see, that's what I'm trying to tell these sisters. Stop marrying these angry brothers. If you done already married them, work it out. Men, stop marrying these mad women. Net popping says you can't change her. Only God can change her. You know how women do it. I'm going to change him, girl. I'm going to make him just the way I want him. The problem is the man you're trying to make don't exist. God is trying to make him how he want him. You trying to make him how you want him ain't nothing but witchcraft. If he ain't the way you need him to be, go find somebody else. If he ain't already put a ring on it, come on, somebody. Stop getting caught up in mess, losing your blessing, getting caught up in yesterday with an anchor of kryptonite around your neck. Let that mess go. Somebody need to just holler, I'm through being vexed. I'm tired of being vexed. I ain't going to be angry no more. If you mad at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I ain't going to be mad at you no more. I ain't going to be mad at you no more. Act the fool all you want. I don't care. Because I ain't going to miss my blessing because of you. Don't you understand that? When you get mad, they done with their job. They caused you to miss your blessing. All the devil wanted Job to do was curse God. After Job lost everything, God brought a double portion back to him for his faithfulness. What are you going through that God is ready to give you a double portion anointing back to you? But if you can do it without complaining. I'm trying to sit down. I'm just trying to talk to somebody because somebody got to stop being mad. Stop coming to church, man. If you don't like the pastor, come back after he gone. Lord, all means don't come back and look at your anger. I'm trying to help somebody. You got to learn how to get rid of vexation, though. See, the problem is when he got vexed, he should have left her alone. Remember when God talked to Abraham, women, you're going to like this one. Before Sarah was Sarah, she was Sarai. He said, listen to the voice, hearken to the voice of your wife, Sarai, because throw out the bond woman and her child because she getting on your wife's nerves, and I can't bless y'all as long as she getting on y'all nerves. So listen to your wife and throw her out because you got to get the vexation out your house. Stop hanging around people that always make you mad all the time who ain't never got nothing good to say. Stop trying to prove stuff to people who will never be able to accept you anyway. Stop trying to make people like you who ain't going to never like you. Stop trying to show them stuff that they ain't going to never see in you. Some folk are there and they ain't going to never like you. They ain't never gonna want to be like you. They're gonna always hate you regardless. Stop trying to win them over and do what God has called you to do. The problem with Samson was he kept trying to be nice to a people that he was never meant to be connected to. If they walk away, you weren't supposed to be connected. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Bye-bye. Bye, Felicia. You got to throw out the bondwoman. You got to get the vexation away from you. You got to stop hanging around people that don't mean you no good. Stop trying to win them over. I forgot what psychologists call it, but it's some type of disorder in your mind where you always trying to run to the people that don't like you and you want them to approve you, and you got all the other people that approve you, but you keep trying to prove it to the one person that don't approve you, and you're like, why do they keep doing this? Why do they keep talking about me every time? Who cares? Get yourself together. Look toward the hills of which cometh your health and do what God has called you to do. Now let's look at Samson. Samson done messed up now. He done told this girl all his business. She said, hold on. Before I do it, I know he told me this time. Bring me my money. Huh? Some folk around you just to see what they can get out of you. You got to be careful of who you anoint and appoint too quickly. Because some folk there for your anointing and not there to be with you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? People, just because somebody's screaming and calling your name, don't you elevate them too quick. They're going to kill you.
You see, some of y'all done put people in the Holy of Holies, ain't been knowing people for 2 weeks on Facebook talking about you love him. You forgot his middle name. Didn't know it. Fell in love with it. I'm in love, fall in love quick. You crazy. Stop connecting yourself and connecting your heart with people too early. Look at this. She said, why you don't tell me where your strength lies? See, this is what I'm telling you. Let me tell you something. This is the funny thing about life. We look at, remember we said Jonah, ain't no way Jonah was just sitting in a chair in the belly of the fish. You know, we thought Jonah was sitting there baking food, like, you know, when Pinocchio went in the well, and they thought we were just sitting there talking and having conversations. And we get caught up in the Bible because we do these little kiddie stories because it makes it sound good. Huh? So with Samson, why would she ask him where your strength come from if he was muscle bound? Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to talk to you. When Arnold Schwarzenegger was in shape, it would be crazy for me to ask where you get your strength from. If I ask, I must have a mental problem. The dude was buff. You feel me? But Samson was probably a little old dude, looking like Pee Wee Herman, a little midget or something. They're like, how in the world this little person here doing all this? The problem was not that Samson was in sin. We all sin. The problem is he gave sin his heart. When you sin and you don't have no remorse, you giving sin your heart. The Bible says where there's no repentance, there's no sacrifice. Which means if you have no conscience, the blood of Jesus means nothing for you because you have no conscience. You do whatever you want to do with no remorse, no repentance at all. It's not the sin that messes you up. It's when you give your heart to sin. And when he gave his heart to sin, it killed him. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm trying to be done. I'm trying. He gave his whole heart to Delilah, to the sinful Philistines. He said, don't give it to. And he knew she was trying to kill him. What you still connected to that you know trying to kill you? And you so foolish that you think you strong enough to keep being all right with it. Oh, I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to get up out of here. Look, he told her all his heart. Your heart. See, John the Baptist asked Jesus, told Jesus, I'm not worthy to baptize you. Why are you getting baptized? You the son of son and Lord, you the son of God. Why are you doing this? And Jesus said, I got to do this because it's an outward sign of my inner heart's obedience. And we get baptized because, not because the water's saving us, because it's an outward sign or symbol. It's an outward action to show that our heart is right with Jesus. And he said, get baptized, although it makes no common sense. I'm going to go on in his water to symbolize his death and get raised up. It makes no sense, but we understand that that's what he said, so that's what I'm going to do. You feel what I'm saying? So as long as you have your heart connected to God and you remain in right covenant with God, God will bless you and you will do what it is he has you to do. See, the gifts are given without repentance, so he ain't going to ever take them away, but are you going to still be anointed? Are you singing with an anointing or do you just sound good? Are you preaching and it sounds good or is that an impact of power? See, Samson didn't look like he could do it. See, do you know what the problem is? Some of us are gifted and we allow people to talk about us so bad that we forget that we are gifted. Now, I'm not saying get the big head and I don't go around bragging. That's why he can preach about, I slayed them, doc. I slayed them. I don't never go around talking about I slayed nobody. I don't know if I sound good or bad. Some of y'all going to say it's good. Some of y'all say it bad. If I went by your opinion, I'd go crazy. I don't care if it was good or bad, as long as I knew I said what God told me to say. So whether you like this sermon or not, I don't care. Now, if I'm doing a comedy show, I need to make you laugh. I got to do that because, But the anointing of the sermon, God does what he wants to do. But anyway, Samson is this little old man, and they don't know how in the world he got this strength. Do you know it's some stuff you can do, Superman and Superwoman out here, that people don't know how you can do it? You know, some of you all can sing and don't know how to read music whatsoever, but know how to hit the right note. You know you can cook and Aunt Betty Crocker ain't taught you a thing. You know that you sometimes you can preach and don't know how you got the word. You can teach and don't know where you got it from. You know, some of y'all can just have great public relations skill, and you can do it because the Holy Ghost has given it to you. I know you ain't from the planet Krypton, and I know you don't get the power from the sun and the sky, but you are a child of the kingdom. And if you look toward the sun and the hill from which cometh your help, the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, gives you an anointing that people don't know how you can do it. How in the world can she do it? I don't know how I can do it. I'm just anointed. It says I'm anointed and appointed, and I can do all things, not some things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know I don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know I look real little, but there's a strength that God has given me because I'm in right standing with him. I know ain't nobody taught me. I know I'm uneducated. I don't know how I can write so good. It's just an anointing that God has given me. I don't know how I can put this stuff together. I don't know how I can dress. I don't know how I can teach. I don't know how I can cook. Didn't nobody teach me. Nobody taught me how to play the drums. Nobody taught me how to play the organ. Nobody taught me how to play the bass. Nobody taught me how to play the guitar. It's just the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's on my life. I can do stuff that I didn't think I could do. I know you're wondering why I'm so blessed. I want to be like a Baptist preacher. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know you're wondering why I'm blessed. I'm wondering the same thing. It's just the favor of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hey, not Aristotle, not Plato, not Freud. Hey, not Machiavelli, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know I look little. I know I don't look gifted. I know I'm uneducated, but it's the Holy Ghost that's in me that enables me to do stuff that I didn't know I could do. I can walk on scorpions. I can heal the sick. I can pray in tongues. I can bring the Holy Ghost down because my God has gifted me. It's not by might. Hey! And it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Hey! It's my God, not me. It's my Jesus, not me. It's the Holy Ghost, not me. I'm not gonna say Maxwell did it. I'm not gonna say Roe did it. I'm not gonna say Spells did it. But it's my God. When I look to the hills from which cometh my help, he will renew my strength. And I mount up like an eagle. I know I shouldn't be able to do it. I know I shouldn't be able to preach. I know I shouldn't be able to prophesy. I know I shouldn't be able to cook. I know I shouldn't be able to do whatever I can do. But it's God, the unmerited favor of God. Don't hate me. Hate favor, because favor ain't fair. But if you're called by God, it seems mighty fair to you. My God said he began a good work in me shall finish it. You won't finish it. I won't finish it. You won't finish it. But God is the author and finisher of my faith. Hey! I'm going to leave my issues to yesterday. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. because tomorrow will worry about itself. I'm going to seek me first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these jobs, all these cars, all these blessings, all this favor will be added unto me. If you look to the hills for which cometh your help, and stop looking at your enemies, stop looking at your sinful nature, stop looking at your infirmities, stop looking at your mess ups, and look to the hills for which cometh your help, and you won't die,
you shall live. But let me take you this. Samson killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. See, until you die to yourself, you can't be used mightily of God. You may be used, but you can't be used mightily of God until you die to yourself. See, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow him. Not a wooden splintered cross, but a cross where you come to a crossroads, where you're going to have to choose God or yourself. Job said it like this: though he slay me, yet will I trust him.